Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about financial stewardship. This is my third day into this series. We're going to be dealing with this for a number of weeks, and I really believe that this is timely because of the situation that not only we find ourselves in the U.S., but a world, what they're calling a world financial crisis. I believe that it's often overstated. I believe that they are using fear to, foster all kinds of bad things. I've read some things on the internet about some of these very wealthy billionaires killing themselves because of the problems that they've got into. And there's people that are just struggling at this time. But my personal testimony is that my wife and I financially, personally, have been blessed. Our investments have turned the greatest return on them that we have ever had in the history of our life. Our ministry has been blessed. I've talked to many of our partners, and every one of them is saying that they are blessed. And I'm just telling you, the reason I'm teaching on this is to say that we do not have to be limited to the world's economy. There is a way to prosper financially. There is a way to have stability and security so that regardless of what happens in the world, God's going to take care of you. We've got promises that say that. And so I think it's timely to be teaching on this. And I just want to encourage you that this is something that many of you right now may be in a financial crisis. You may be having hardship. If you are, I'm not saying this to condemn. I'm just saying it to help. That it's because you have bought into the world's system of finances. And now is a great time to make an adjustment. Now is a great time to recognize that the world is going to fail. You cannot count on anything other than Jesus. Jesus is the only one that is 100% sure. And He is not just for heaven and hell issues off in eternity. Right now, He has given us guidelines and told us how to live and how to walk in health and how to walk in wealth and prosperity. And if we would follow His guidelines, then you can get back on your feet, you can begin to prosper, and regardless of what happens in the world system, and I guarantee you, we will come back from this, and there will be prosperity again, and there will be another bust, and there will be problems again because of people's greed and selfishness. It just runs in cycles. But when you get to where you base your faith and your actions upon what God tells you to do, then you can become secure. You can get back on your feet. God can prosper you. This is a great time. There are, just tremendous opportunities right now. And if you'll get into faith, God will lead you and prosper you. And then the next time that there is a bust, a bubble burst, then you won't be affected by it because you will have been established in God's system of prosperity. So I think it's God really that has led me to teach on this. And I believe that this is going to be a blessing to you. I started making the point yesterday from Luke chapter 16, verse 1, that you need to develop a mindset that you are a steward, that the money that you have, even though you work and even though you put in effort and sweat and toil goes with it, I'm acknowledging all of that, but it's God who has blessed you. It's God that caused you to be born at this time. It's God who has given you your talents and ability. It's God who's given you your health. It's God who enables your mind to function and perform whatever function it is that you do to be able to earn money. Ultimately, God is your source. And if you would look at the money you have as not your own, but belonging to another, and you are just stewards of this, then I guarantee you, you would get a totally, totally different reaction than what most people are getting. If you would have looked at your money and the investments that you were making, the things that you were buying, the things that you were spending your money on, if you would have prayed over all of those, I guarantee you God would have told many of you not to make some of the foolish investments that you've made, not to just ride things out in the stock market. God would have spoken to you. But you've got to develop this mindset that you're a steward, that God is responsible, and listen to Him. It's not just up to you to pick and choose. The scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, I think it is, it says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his own steps. You cannot lean unto your own understanding. I think that's Proverbs chapter 3 where it says, And lean not unto your own understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You've got to get to a place to where you recognize that God never created man to function independent of him. He has given us that choice, that we've got the right to do it. But if you really want to succeed, you need to realize your total dependency upon God. And especially in this area of finances, we need to see ourselves as stewards of God's money. And God will tell you what to do. It says over in John chapter 16, I believe it's verse 13, that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. You know, none of these things that have happened have caught the Lord by surprise. The Lord knew it was all coming. And, you know, I hesitate to just keep using this testimony because I don't want somebody to think I'm bragging. I don't want somebody to think that I'm looking down my nose and criticizing anybody who didn't do the same thing that we did. But this is a great example of what I'm talking about right here. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And in January of 2008, my wife was praying, and we see our money as this is what God has given us. And the Lord told her to take our money out of all of the investments that we had in and put them in the most secure, non-risk thing that we could find. God told us in advance of the fall of the stock market and all of these things. And because of it, we've been unscathed. We actually had a 20% increase in the last part of 2008. Because the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. And I know some of you think, oh, God doesn't get involved in those kind of things. Well, don't wake us up, because that's how we're living. And it works. And I can guarantee you there are thousands and thousands of people watching this program who have the same attitude and have the same testimony. I talked to a number of my partners recently, and they were all saying that they are just prospering and being blessed. Because God will show you things to come if you look at it as, God, I am not going to lean unto my own understanding. I'm not going to depend upon myself. You are my source. And if you will listen and be dependent upon God, God will show you things. God will show you how to get out of the mess that you find yourself in right now. God will lead you if you will say, God, it's all yours. I turn it over to you. Now, tell me how you want me to administer your money, your resources. If you would approach life that way, it'll work not only in finances, but it'll work in every area. There's some of you right now that you're abusing your body. You're feeding it things you don't need to feed it. You aren't exercising it. You're overweight. You aren't taking care of it. If you were to say, Father, you have given me this body. This is the temple of the Lord. Help me to glorify you. What would glorify you? Pray over what you eat. Amen. I know some of you think I've quit preaching and gone to meddling because, again, we say, well, this is my body. I can do whatever I want to. This is my money. I can invest however I want to. I'm leaning onto my own understanding, and we've basically justified that stance. I'm saying that if you are really going to tap in to the things of God, the first step is you've got to adopt this mindset that you are a steward of God's money. It's God who has enabled you. God is your source. Now, here's an example of this in Scripture. In Genesis chapter 12, the Lord said unto Abram, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You know, I could spend a lot of time on this. But just think about it. This man had family there. He had probably businesses and, you know, there's just all kinds of things. To pick up and move from where you are and go to another place at the word of the Lord, this shows that Abraham considered himself to be the servant of the Lord. It wasn't just up to him. He didn't just pick and choose. You know, I have people come to me all of the time at these meetings that we hold, and they say things like, well, God's told me to come to Bible school, but how am I going to sell my house? What about my finances? What am I going to do for a job? What about all my family? What about my children, my grandchildren that are there? And People say God told them to do something, but, and then they give all of these other things that are a problem. I just can't relate to that. Because, see, if God told me, well, then He's boss, I'm not. There's only one God, and I am not Him. And if I can clearly understand that God told me to do something, well, then I'll do it. And if it costs me money, if it means that I have to leave the house that I've lived in for 20 years, if it means that I lose all of my friends, if it means that it looks like disaster is out there, if I know God told me to do it, I know that God is a good God and He would never do anything to hurt me, that God's plans for my life are better than my plans. And if God tells me to do it, I'll just do it. See, that's the attitude of a person who realizes that I'm not the boss. And yet there's so many people that their life, their choice, where they live, what they do, the job that they do, all of these kind of things. There's a lot of people that the person they marry, well, it's just totally up to you. You just pick and choose. Again, I'm not trying to shame anybody or condemn anybody. But I'm saying that's not the attitude that I had. You know what? I prayed about it. And I said, God, I want the woman that You have for me. And I prayed about it because I realized that that's one of the most important decisions I'll ever make. And I mean, Jamie and I both prayed about this long and hard. And God supernaturally put us together. And God has made it work. I don't believe there's another woman on the face of the earth that would have put up with all of the hardships and the things that I've been through and put my wife through. It was a God connection. God put us together. And yet there's so many people that you just go out and pick the person based on how they look or based on who knows whatever your criteria is. And then after you get into this relationship and it's just like, you know, oil and fire and they don't mix, it's an explosive combination and everything is going wrong. Then you start praying and, oh, God, bless this and, oh, God, make this work. It'd have been so much better to just say, Father, I need Your wisdom. God, this is an important decision, and you let God tell you, and you be a steward of what He gives you. You let Him put you together with the right person. You let Him decide where you live. See, this is reflected in Abraham. God spoke to him to leave the land that he lived in, to leave his family members, to do all of this. Now, let me add this, that Abraham wasn't perfect. Abraham didn't do this perfectly, and I haven't got time to go into all of this detail. You have to take a lot of scriptures and put this together to come up with this conclusion. But you find, even right here in the last part of the 11th chapter, that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees, but he didn't leave all of his kindred. Matter of fact, his father came with him, his nephew came with him, and he waited in Haran until his father died. And then after his father died, he left. But he still wasn't completely obeying God because he had Lot, his nephew, that was with him. And later that was a problem and they had to separate and go their different ways. And it wasn't until he finally obeyed God that God gave him the full benefit of this blessing that he started right here in Genesis chapter 12. So my point is, Abraham wasn't perfect. He didn't do everything just completely. There were steps and stages. It took him a long period of time. And the scripture doesn't make it very clear, but I believe it was around 30 years from the time that God first spoke to him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and his kindred before he finally arrived in the promised land and separated from Lot and finally began to start fulfilling what God told him to do. So it's not like Abraham was the most quick to obey person that ever was, but yet he still saw God's blessing come to pass in his life. The Lord went on and said to him in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, He says, And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that last phrase down there is a reference to the fact that eventually through Abraham's descendants, the Messiah would be born. And of course, he would bring salvation to the entire earth. So the entire earth would be blessed ultimately because of Abraham and his descendants. But the Lord said here, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And I will make you a blessing. Notice the emphasis here. Abraham didn't just stumble onto all of these things. It wasn't just circumstances. It wasn't just that he was born into a wealthy family and he inherited all of these things. No, God was the source of all of his blessing. That's what the Lord is saying. And this is what I'm saying to you, that the first step in you really getting a hold on finances and beginning to prosper God's way is to adopt this attitude that God is your source. God is the one who is making you to prosper. Therefore, there is an accountability to God with what you do with your money. It's not up to you to just indulge your lust and to do anything that you want to do. You ought to pray about, what is it, Father, that you want me to do with your money? If you would get the attitude that you're a steward, that would make a huge difference. And so this is exactly what the Lord is saying to Abraham. I'm going to be your source, Abraham. I will bless you. I will cause you to prosper. And you see that right here in this 12th chapter of the book of Genesis. Abraham went down into Egypt because of a famine. And he wasn't the greatest man of integrity. He had fear that people were going to kill him for his wife. His wife, Sarah, was beautiful. And she was in her 60s at this time. This is amazing. This happened twice in Abraham's life, when she was 60 and when she was 90-something. And she was such a beautiful woman, he was afraid that people were going to kill him to be able to take his wife and have relations with her. So he just said, she's my sister, which was only a half-truth. She was a stepsister. But you know what? He basically disowned his wife out of cowardice and was willing to let the Pharaoh take Sarah into his harem. And he did that, but before there could be any sexual relations, God intervened, and God showed Pharaoh that Sarah was actually Abraham's wife. And instead of Abraham being rebuked, Pharaoh expressed his disappointment, but instead the blessing of God came on him, and Pharaoh commanded his people not to touch this man or his wife, put them on a pedestal in a sense, granted them favor, and the Egyptians began to start giving Abraham cattle and servants and gold and silver. And when Abraham left Egypt after a time of famine and he didn't obey perfectly, he wasn't the greatest man of integrity, but he did see God as his source. He did accept this word. And I'm going to show you some scriptures that will prove beyond any shadow of a doubt that he did see God as his source. Because he did that and because he trusted God, God caused him to prosper, and he left Egypt with much more prosperity than he went down there with. And it was during a time of famine. It was during a financial crisis, and yet Abraham began to prosper. As a matter of fact, as you go on through this story in the 13th chapter of the book of Genesis, the next thing that is reported is that Abraham had become so prosperous in cattle and in sheep and goats and in goods. And his nephew Lot was also a prosperous man. They were so prosperous that they could not dwell together. There was a strife between the people who worked for them over the pasture land, trying to decide whose cattle would get the good grazing land. And finally, when this strife came to a head, here's what Abram said, and this reveals a lot. He said unto Lot, in verse 8, this is Genesis 13:8. Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. You know, basically what he's saying is, he says, Lot, we don't want this strife, so we're going to have to separate our goods. Our flocks and herds are too plentiful for us to dwell together. So you just pick. He says, I'm going to give you first choice. You go whichever direction, and I'll go the other direction. Now, if you've ever been over to Israel, especially down in the southern part of Israel, down around Hebron where they were at this time, you will find that, I mean, you can go 10 yards in between blades of grass in some of those places. It's scarce. It's sparse. It's not really good for grazing animals. And so there was a lot of desert in that area, but the scripture goes on to say that before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, all the area down around the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah was, It was lush and well-watered, and it was like the Garden of Eden. That's describing plentiful water, great grazing grass and stuff. So here's Abraham and Lot saying, we've got to separate. Lot, you just choose. And so I can imagine them standing on a hill, and here is this valley that is well-watered. I mean, it is just prime land for grazing cattle, and then here's the desert. And Abraham says, pick whichever you choose. Now, that was a no-brainer. There wasn't any question as to which area was best for grazing your crops, and therefore which area Lot would choose. Lot chose the great pasture land, the area around Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham went the other direction. Did you know very few people would be able to do something like that? Let me put this into a context that most of you can get. Like, say, for instance, you're working a job and you're a salesman and you're a representative for some company, and here's an area that just produces. It's always a top producer. And if you were having a contention with someone over this, how many of you would just say, hey, if you want the better area, if you want where the most sales are, if you want the high dollars, I'll give you the best and I'll take the worst. How many of you would do that? Probably not very many people watching this program. And you know why? Because, again, we think we've got to fight. It's according to our effort. We got to fight and claw and stab in the back and do everything we can. But see, a person who would give the best, the prime land to a nephew of theirs, and they would take the desert, this is such a dramatic statement that Abraham believed what God spoke to him. God said, I will bless you and I will make you great. Abraham believed that. He didn't believe that it was based on whether he had the best pasture land, whether all of these external things were. He saw God as his source. And there's other examples. I'm running short of time today, but on our program tomorrow, I'm going to give you other examples where Abraham did the same thing with millions and millions of dollars. He gave them away because no man is ever going to say that they're the ones that made Abraham rich. Abraham saw God as his source. And because of it, here we are, 4,000 years later, talking about Abraham and his prosperity and using it as an example. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, if you are going to prosper in the things of God, there's a lot of things I'm going to teach in this series about just practical things, how to manage your money. But it begins with getting the attitude that you're a steward. This isn't just your money. It's not up to you to do whatever you want. You need to pray. You need to recognize God as your source. You need to be willing to say, God, I'll take the lower room because, you know what, I have you. You're my source. You're going to prosper me. This other person doesn't have you. They need every physical advantage that they can get. I'll take the negative situation because you'll make me prosper anyway. You know, I'm not perfect in this, but to a degree, I've arrived at this because there's been times that I have given other people the priority. I have let them have the better thing, knowing that God is with me and that I'm going to prosper. And you know what? This is a result of having this mindset that you're a steward. This is the main point I'm trying to get across, the first step in financial success. I've got some teaching on this entitled Financial Stewardship. I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you that information. Please call or write and get the products, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The first teaching in the audio CD album titled What is a Steward is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD free of charge. Request teaching number TO15C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I was mentioning during my teaching today about people who say God told them to come to school, and yet they have all these other things that distract them. You know, I'd just like to expand on that and say that if God has been speaking to you, if you have a desire to come to Bible college, to be involved in that, I'd like to encourage you to just put God's Word first. Recognize God as your source and obey. Be like Abraham. Leave your father and mother, your family, your home that you were raised in, and obey God. If God is speaking to you about Bible college, I believe that our Charis Bible colleges are the best around. I really do. People's lives are being changed. So we've got information on your screen. I encourage you to call or write today and join us at Charis Bible College.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He will be in Atlanta, Georgia this week for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 5th through the 7th. Colorado Springs for the Charis Bible College Weekend March 12th through the 14th. And in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar on May 7th through the 9th. Raleigh, North Carolina, June 11th through the 13th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Charis Bible College Weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Charis Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible college would be an awesome first step just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible college. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
If I was to give you my wallet and I was to say, now, you just give, you know, whatever you want to, you'd probably be more generous with my money than if it's your money. When you consider it to be yours, it's like there is a string that goes directly from your heart to your wallet. And if somebody touches your wallet, boy, they touch your heart. I mean, you feel it. But when it's somebody else's money, you have a totally different attitude.